It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help.
So Dustin, who is definitely not listening, says, or at least are we not giving enough credit to Matt Patricia for what he did? The former Patriots defensive coordinator, also had time as the Lions head coach. He confused not only Arch, but Sark. He won that battle, and it helps when you have Caleb Downs to be your ultimate chess piece. So yeah, Matt Patricia gets credit. We'll see if a genius defensive coordinator in Bill Belichick has his way with TCU. We'll see if the whole, hey, I was a genius on the NFL level, yeah, I can certainly handle college offense thing works out.
There's someone who said, like, it was Johnny Manziel on the nightcap, where he was like, yeah, Matt Patricia's used to game planning for, like, Aaron Rodgers. You think he won't be able to fool a first-time starter that's 21 years old?
It's usually about whether you can instruct your own players to do the stuff. Less about your ability to trick the young player on the other side. Can you instruct your young players to carry out a game plan?
I think it helps when one of those young players is Caleb Downs.
Yes.
You can instruct a lot. But yeah, it's an interesting line to walk, because, like, you don't want to give too much credit to Matt Patricia, because then you're kind of letting Arch off the hook, and Gary will call in and say, well, we're not doing that, but someone else might be somewhere, but I'll still call into this radio show to talk about it. I think that there's a lot of credit and blame to be passed around, but I think that we shouldn't overlook that Matt Patricia really put Steve Sarkisian and the Texas offense in a box. Now, Texas defense also played better than Ohio State's defense.
Yeah, that's the problem. At least the unfortunate thing for Texas defense, how well they played. Discussions will be less about them and what they did to Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith and that wide receiver core for Ohio State. It'll be more about Ohio State was able to do to Sark and Arch for obvious reasons. Keith, we see you. We'll get to you. I'm sure there's some Vanderbilt thing you want to talk about. But Alabama, are they at the point, and we should know better than anyone, because we have rooted for programs where the brand and the helmet and what that meant in the past lasted farther than it should when we talk about the team that's actually on the field. The preseason ranking, simply because you're Texas or Miami and stuff like that, and the belief that you're going to be good just because that's the school. We dealt with that. Hopefully you're further down the line as far as being a good program. We'll see what Miami does the rest of the way. Is Alabama at that point where we know their fans are, at least for me, number one on the misery index? Are they at a point where that helmet is the only reason we talk about them like they should have been big favorites at Florida State? Because this is the same Alabama team who didn't look very good. Yeah, they went 9-3, but that was a very average football team for the most part, at least what we saw on the field week to week.
Yeah, are they just another very talented SEC team that doesn't maximize it? That's basically, have they settled into, like, Lane Kiffin Ole Miss zone, or I know Tennessee looks
Texas
awesome.
Texas A&M zone?
Texas A&M, Tennessee, like that kind of, like, hey, listen, they have all the players to compete. You went from, top one of all time coaching to Kalen DeBoer, who's like, seems like a good coach, but not.
I mean, he elevated Washington to a point now. Transfers Michael Penix, first round pick, great receiving core, but they made a title game, so we know he can succeed at a high level.
I wonder how much of it's like, well, it's different coaching players that go to Washington than players that go to Alabama, especially a lot of these guys who still were guys that committed to Nick Saban, Alabama.
Yeah, people maybe underestimate how much fit matters as far as where a coach goes in college football, where just whether it be expectations, buy-in, and what the player themselves is looking for when they pick a school. That matters quite a bit. When you're at Washington, you're going to get talented players. But Michael Penix was a transfer, had multiple surgeries, was a guy who missed a lot of football. And you're not getting the best players in the country to go to Washington. You'll recruit fine. They're going to recruit fine if you go there and you're good, but you're not getting the Alabamas of the world.
Yeah,
those type of players that Alabama's getting. So when you are at Alabama, there's a different type of player as far as their expectations for themselves, what their goals are. And sometimes that doesn't mesh with the staff you're putting together or the head coach himself. Is that what we're seeing right now? A lot of the issues people had was the lack of effort. Now, of course, people point to this is the Alabama there used to be. There's a clip floating around right now of Jonathan Allen, who looks like the scariest dude on the planet in the locker room at the time.
I've seen that video.
Yeah, he looks like someone who you never want to see again. You just hope that man, and it appears to be the case, is the gentle giant off the field and the scary dude he is on the field. And then you comp it to what you're seeing of TikToks of Alabama receivers dancing or Ryan Williams with the painted nails. All these things people are saying, this is what Saban's Alabama was. This is what DeBoer's Alabama was. Mind you, Saban was recruiting Ryan Williams and would have taken him in the heartbeat. Whatever. It's a new era with players. I wouldn't use that as a comp, but you can watch the stuff on the field and go, this team isn't playing even effort wise at a high level.
There it's just not as airtight as it used to be.
Yeah.
Like it used to
There's
be
slippage.
You knew that you're going to get 11 games out of the season, you're gonna get Alabama's A or maybe B game, and that was gonna be enough to absolutely roll you. Like that yeah. 11 times a season, you could just mark it down. Like they will compete well enough to win. There might be one game a season where they come out without the energy, and hell, they might win that game.
They're good enough to still win that game.
They might win that one. So it's just, you're right, where I don't want to say they're like just another program now, but they're mortal. Like they can bleed. They're not going to go in there and just wreck shop every single week anymore. They're a team that's susceptible to letdowns and susceptible to being unprepared or underprepared. And that's what I thought they were, especially against Gus Malzahn, who, my God, when he sees the Alabama Crimson Tide.
We did not take that into account. Gus Malzahn at home as an underdog. We've seen this play with mobile quarterback who's
Alabama
limited throwing.
On the other side
Alabama. We've seen this thing before. We did not take it into account because he wasn't donning Auburn colors.
Yeah.
But it's the same Gus Malzahn. He got that running back wheel, got the run game going with his quarterback, had the reverse to apparently the All-American track star. I don't, or at least All-ACC. Danzy. Was that his name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Danzy
he
or
had
Danzig.
Multiple plays from him on the pop pass, you want to call it a reverse, whatever, or end around, whatever you want to call that play. He had multiple big plays, including a touchdown. It did look like, and it makes sense because who's the OC? It did look like Auburn jumping Alabama and having them confused. Like, the pure, we're just going to hand it off to the running back. They got a couple of plays, but it wasn't that. It was just the deception, Castellanos and his ability to make plays out of structure. And Alabama's offense don't have a big time back. Jan Miller wasn't available. And the receivers, Ryan Williams did not play well beyond the injury that happened late. He dropped a couple of passes. In fact, he dropped the pass before he got hit. He is on a streak of under 100-yard games. We remember what he did against Georgia, and he's a very talented player. But since that point, there's plenty of games where he's a relatively non-factor. Maybe that had more to do with Jalen Milroe last year. He's got a Ty Simpson, who I think acquitted himself fine. He wasn't bad.
I think not the problem.
Yeah.
Not the problem on Saturday.
No, it was everybody else for the most part.
Yeah.
And they get beat by a Florida State team, and they rush the field. The feeling is back in Tallahassee. We'll see if this is, and Joe Tessitore is there looking resplendent. We'll see if this is the FSU is back, real, or is it like when he was Texas is back? Now, he didn't say FSU is back, but he probably learned his lesson.
He wanted to, though.
Yeah, but we will see if this is more along the lines of, okay, FSU has found the way to rebuild after the 2-10, and the transfer portal certainly helps, and maybe they're a contender in the ACC, or is it like the Texas-Notre Dame game from all those years ago where it turns out neither team was very good? if that's Alabama's case, you can fry DeBoer up right now.
If he's 2016 Notre Dame,
yeah.
Who, by the way, guys, went 4-8.
Yeah. I don't foresee that, but even 7-6, there could be real trouble. Yeah. 8-5 could be real trouble. He wouldn't even get to the 13th game.
He won't get to the bowl game.
Yeah.
8-4.
8-4 could be real trouble. We'll see.
Oh, man.
Yeah, don't. You never want to do it. What they say, don't be the guy who follows the guy.
I didn't think it
would be the other guy. Be the next guy. You don't want to be the guy.
Remember when people were like, well, at least they didn't go after, like, a Saban guy. They didn't try to, like, you know, keep the train running with the same type of stuff. Like, sure. They had a real process, and they went out and got someone new, and they really should have just gotten a Saban clone. Yeah, man, like, they really should have just gotten just the most, like, next in line on the Saban factory.
He had a better head start because of the roster, but he's got some real Brian Harsin vibes about him. They're gonna have no loyalty to him. They're gonna immediately, they probably already have that Washington thing, whatever. Oh, West Coast football.
Oh yeah. No. He gets zero credit for that after last season. Yeah. Never mind what happened on
Saturday.
Yeah,
hiring a coach who was born in South Dakota.
Please.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
We're Alabama.
You know who they would rather have?
The guy born in, like, West Virginia?
Anyone.
Where was Nick Saban born?
West Virginia.
Yeah.
Or he's from West Virginia.
Yeah, he's from there. So there it is. Florida State, are they back? Doesn't matter. Big win this weekend for them. I would have to go with Clemson, right? Throw them on the list. Dabo Swinney.
Yep. Supposed to be, of the contenders, the most, like, ready-made, returning a lot, you know, with Texas, with Ohio State, with so many of these teams. They're either questions at quarterback or LSU, questions about their defense. Clemson was the one that was like, I don't know, just kind of roll out last year's team and add a couple spots from the portal, which is new for Clemson. It was like them and Penn State were the most, like, we feel good about what they come back and or what they come back with. And Clemson looked a lot more like the team that wasn't going to make the playoff and was ranked like 20th before they beat SMU last year than they did the team that made the playoff and gave Texas a good game.
Yeah. Garrett Riley got there in 2023. First games under Garrett Riley. Klubnik the starter for all three. Lost 28-7 to Duke. At Duke. Not that that should matter when you're Clemson.
Shouldn't matter.
34-3 to Georgia. And what we saw yesterday. Nice. The offense has been poor.
So that was the best offensive game they've had. 10 points, right?
Yes, they scored 10. Now, that was the one game at home, so
That's the home field
certainly
advantage.
Might have helped. Yeah.
that was the extra score.
7 points and 4 turnovers in 2023. 3 points and 188 yards against Georgia. Makes some sense. It's Georgia. But
yeah,
you're Clemson, so yeah. It shouldn't be that bad.
Yeah.
And then 10 points and 261 yards against an LSU defense that took a moderate step last year, but wasn't great, and they were working to that point. Blake Baker, their DC, very highly paid. Maybe he's got a really good squad.
They look better in year two.
Yes. Or Clemson ain't what people thought they were. This is always the give and take about week one games. We're not really sure. We think because we were told that this offense was supposed to be good. They got Garrett Riley, Kate Klubnik was voted the best player in the ACC. Fourth best player overall, according to ESPN. Oof.
Give Carson Beck some of those votes.
If we're talking about at least quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Ruben Bain, maybe.
Give Ruben, actually, it is.
Maybe Ruben throw Akeem Ezidor if we were watching what happened in the last couple of plays last night for Notre Dame and Miami. Malachi Toney, yeah. Better than Kate Klubnik, too.
Better than Wesco, better than
yeah, better
Williams
than
got hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think even as far as LSU, I think you can say that their defense has improved, just even if you're building in that we overrated Clemson.
Yeah, their defense looked much better.
Last year, they would have given up 34 points.
They got another
Clemson
Weeks
team.
Brother there?
I will say, Witt Weeks, good. West Weeks,
I'm already out.
There's a lot of highlights off West Weeks.
Yeah, I'm already out.
He got trucked by a wide receiver turned running back.
I'm already out on mostly because that's a family who names all their kids with the same first letter.
Yeah.
I don't like it. He's a transfer for West Virginia. That should have been your first clue, LSU. Maybe.
Yeah.
Now sure. Transfers, they go someplace else.
Yeah.
They flip the switch and all of a sudden they're too good for where they are.
Clemson had a Purdue transfer that got a sack.
Sure. Dobble's like, look, see, sometimes the transfer portal, it works.
Oh, they cut to him right after the play, too, where it looked like the spot in the movie where he goes, that's why we went and got him.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, we are selective. Yeah. It's very selective. But Wes Weeks probably won't ever be called the nickname his brother got called last year. But that one even went away because LSU defensively their wasn't good enough for him to maintain that name. You don't know. You know, Tyrann Mathieu, a lot of people, was the Honey Badger. Well, what's the NH words sometimes white people get called? That's the nickname plus Badger that they gave to the other Weeks. Wes,
I think he was good enough. He was good.
He was fine. He was good yesterday.
His older brother?
On Saturday. His other brother, no. He won't ever get a nickname unless it's some slander some
his
LSU fans
is
throwing at him.
Starting linebacker for the LSU Tigers, question mark.
For now.
Yeah, where it's like, wait, this guy's starter?
Speaking of linebackers.
It's a heartwarming story.
Harold Perkins, man, he looks back.
Yeah.
They finally found a spot for him, it looks like.
Yeah, we'll
go
we'll
make
see.
Plays, Perkins.
We'll
That's
see.
The
I'm
spot.
I'm not dissing him, but we'll see what this. I'm not gonna.
We just said LSU's defense has improved, and you don't want to give him any credit.
I'm not taking the Harold Perkins cheese quite yet. All right, he had an awesome game as a true freshman. All right,
that's true.
against Arkansas, and he's basically won them the Arkansas game.
And he's wearing the number 7. You know what that means at LSU?
That definitely helps. That makes me buy in a little bit.
Although
more.
He wore it last year, didn't mean anything. But
true.
But they found a spot for him, Keith. We wanted to hold off on your Vanderbilt call, but we'll get to you. Final group of my misery index, the Arch Manning hype media conglomerate. It was a tough weekend for them.
Yeah, for us.
Okay, throw you into it.
I don't feel like I should count, but I'll turn in my badge and go.
You really shouldn't. Your slander for Quinn Ewers probably elevates you onto the list, but you haven't been crazy about Arch. From Paul Feinbaum to Greg McElroy, who pushed back on Jordan Rodgers and his assessment. Big winner, Jordan Rodgers.
Huge winner.
Big winner.
Biggest win for Jordan Rodgers since he was on The Bachelor.
Yeah, not even any of his games at Vanderbilt. The fact that he stood on business, as we would say, and he took he took the fire from Feinbaum and Greg McElroy, bigger names at that network, and he goes, oh!
Mm-hmm.
Who's the college football expert now?
Yeah, and he has like a month and a half.
Before he can be proven wrong. Because none of these games that Arch is going to play are going to mean anything.
Yeah.
And he said,
saw this last year.
Yeah. I am who I am. And I'm the other more likable brother in the Rodgers family. But on this, I'm more right than anyone when it comes to Arch Manning. All right, Keith, we'll get to you when we come back. If you want to follow up, Keith, the number 713-780-3776. Yeah, I know John and Lance aren't here, but we're here. You want to talk about what happened over the weekend? This is the show for it. And the rest of the lineup will be here as well. Some of us do work on Labor Day, and some of us, it's us. We'll talk to you when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. They're working, and so is that website. So go to monumentchevrolet.com and check out all they have to offer. Great cars at good prices, actually great prices, to be clear. And they kind of got something for everybody. So, whether you want something that's an EV vehicle, like a Blazer, which we talked about quite a bit last week, you can do that. Maybe you want something like their Silverado 1500. Great truck. They sell a lot of them. You should get in on that as well. They got great cars for great people, and great people will sell them to you. Once you go on out there, you're going to realize how great the people are, because they had been in business for over 50 years, which means not only have they sold a lot of cars, but you can't be in business that long without treating people right. So, once you step on the lot in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225, Beltway 8 and 225 in Pasadena, there's going to be a wide selection of cars, and the people will get you into the car that you want. You see the price on the website? It won't change once you step on to that lot and get the car that best fits you. This week, Car of the Week is the Malibu 1.9 APR for 36 months on that economic and stylish Malibu. So, if you're not looking for something big, Maybe you got a long commute and you want something that fits what you need, the Malibu is for you. Check it out at monumentchevrolet.com. Then go get it in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
It's midnight in Houston, and Bob just can't sleep. The AC is broken, and he can't count the sheep. Don't worry, big man. You don't need to scream. We can fix your AC with the help of Air Team. They'll come to your place, fix it up without a trace. Trust the ultimate fan with the paint on his face.
Is your air conditioner not performing at a pro level? Call Air Team, H-Town's HVAC team. The best heating and air conditioning installation services. 713-936-5346 or visit airteamltd.com.
Chill out with Inside the Icebox, your go-to Astros podcast for deep dives, hot takes, and bold predictions. Join Joe George and Jeremy Branham Fridays at 6 on ESPN 97.5 or on our YouTube channel, ESPN Houston, powered by Blue Star Tequila. Smooth and always game ready.
Hey, y'all. Brooks Bosler here, founder of BB's Texas Orleans. At BB's, we strive to be better than the best. So much, we've come up with a new tagline, the freshest and the bestest. BB's has the freshest and the bestest Gulf Coast seafood in Houston, with mouthwatering oysters on the half shell, delicious fried and grilled fish, and spicy bull crab and shrimp. The freshest and the bestest of Mama's craveably delicious Louisiana Cajun dishes, all with the big old Texas twist on top. The freshest and the bestest every day, only at BB's.
Hi, this is Sean with Greenlight Offer, and I buy houses cash. If you own a house and want to sell it fast at a fair price, I'm your guy. Call me at 832-779-4000. I can pay cash and close in as little as 3 days. I buy houses in any condition, any price range, and any location in the Houston area. I'm a local real estate investor who buys several houses a month, and I want to buy more. I buy inherited houses, vacant houses, behind in payment houses. I even buy my tenant won't pay me the rent house. Do you own a house that is trash and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? That's fantastic, because I love buying junk houses too. Skip all the hassle and headache of listing, dealing with agents, showings, and who knows what else. If you own a house and want to sell it fast, give me a call today. Sean at Greenlight Offer Buying Houses. Call me at 832-779-4000. That's 832-779-4000. Call for Sean with Greenlight Offer and I'll get your green light number on your house today.
If your business is growing and looking for working capital, funds to acquire a business, or purchase equipment, Veritex Community Bank's lending team is standing by to help you navigate through the loan process. Visit veritexbank.com for more details. That's veritexbank.com. Member FDIC, subject to credit approval.
Championship teams are built with experience, skill, and teamwork, just like Pipefitters Local 211. For over 75 years, we've been representing the best in the trade across the Texas Gulf Coast. Our 4,300 union pipe fitters, welders, and HVAC techs bring the heat when it comes to quality, safety, and precision. When you need a home run in craftsmanship, trust the pros who do it right the first time. Pipe Fitters Local 211. Brought to you by the journeymen and apprentices of Pipe Fitters Local Union 211.
Listen to Texas Radio Hall of Famers John and Lance weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Our needs are different. Big Wireless wants us in an unlimited plan, but if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on affordable, reliable plans, including data that suits your needs, not ours. Our plans start at just $20, and you'll get the best customer service in the business.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want to boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Turn things all the way up and find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy.
DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles is your best bet this football season. Catch all the action and immerse yourself in over 3,200 square feet of LED screens. Wager, watch, and win in the sleek is setting with the best odds. Order some of your favorite bites and sip on an award-winning cocktail at your game day headquarters. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook, Louisiana's largest sportsbook. At the Golden Nugget Casino Lake Charles, a two-hour drive from Houston. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Please call 1-877-770-STOP.
The Listener Appreciation Party 2025 is happening Friday, September 5th at St. Arnold Beer Hall. But you need to win tickets by listening for our on-air giveaways or following us on social media. It's going to be a great night with St. Arnold beer flowing and food from BB's Texas Orleans, Portillo's, Great Plate Hospitality, Nico Nico's, and Taqueria Aranda's. Thanks also to the Golden Nugget Lake Charles and HRMP for their support. The Listener Appreciation Party 2025. Stay tuned in to win.
Your home for Texas A&M Athletics, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Let's get to Keith here. I'm sure he believes his opinion before the year has been validated by what he saw this weekend. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Sean, thanks for having me on. Longer wait time than usual, but I'll allow it because it's Labor Day.
You'll allow it? Okay.
Vanderbilt 10-2 is definitely in play after what you saw week one. Vanderbilt took care of business against Charleston Southern. Their next two games against Virginia Tech, South Carolina, who just played each other, and both of the teams look below average at best. Then they get Georgia State and Utah State. And then Alabama week six suddenly looks like a winnable game, Dell. That's what I told you guys in the middle of the summer. That's a winnable game. They're going to be 5-0 heading into Bama. They don't have Ole Miss or Florida on the schedule. Tennessee, their quarterback looked good, but they'll have – that's the last game of the season. Texas didn't look great. They have them. LSU's good. You know, they'll probably lose that game. But 10-2 is in play with this SEC schedule. All the good teams are in the Big Ten. Vanderbilt, with the stadium renovations, the quarterback, over a dozen players returning, Pavia, they had a packed house for their opener. And these SEC teams took an L. Four of the top ten took an L. Vanderbilt's going to go from unranked to ranked. Same with Florida State. Congrats on Miami.
Vanderbilt's not. When is Vanderbilt? Hold on. When is Vanderbilt going from ranked to unranked? When? This week?
No, I didn't say no. No, they're not. They're not going to go to ranked. I'm saying Florida State is going to go from unranked to ranked.
Yeah,
Vanderbilt
Florida
is going to climb the rankings. Well, Vanderbilt is in a great spot to go 10-2. Texas, South Carolina, Virginia Tech, and you know, especially Alabama, all look average to below average. And then you Vanderbilt still gets Utah State and Georgia State mixed in there. They're a good team. They're going to get to 9-3 at worst. 10-2 in play. The college football playoffs in play. Vanderbilt is legit. You know it, Dell. You know it. You know it. John Lance, those guys will know it. Sean knows it.
I know.
Vanderbilt's going to be good this year.
I don't know that beating Charleston Southern by 42 points means that Vanderbilt's going to be good or not. Sure. Alabama didn't look great at Florida State, but you don't get to play Alabama next week. Alabama has, let's say, you don't play them to October 4th on the road. Is Alabama going to be the same team they were in week one as they are that week? I'm going to say no. That doesn't mean it'll be better. Who knows how it'll go?
They'll quit by then.
Maybe they have quit. So you never know. But yeah. I'm not going to use what happened in week one to determine what a team you're going to face in early October is going to look like. Credit to you for getting the win. Credit to you for Diego Pavia not being the Pavia brother that was arrested, because two of them were. That happened. So good on Diego Pavia for avoiding the fate of his brothers, maybe because he had to go back to the facility and get rehab, get some therapy done because of, you know, he played a football game. I don't know. But his brothers had a good time. I'm sure they will continue to have a good time.
Looking at the schedule, you know, you just split at South Carolina, at Tennessee.
I'm not even sure they're destined to beat Virginia Tech.
Lose against LSU, that's 10-2 right there.
You know, Virginia
Tech. You just need to split South Carolina and then also beat Alabama and Texas.
Sure.
At those two places. We saw them last. They don't have a win between them yet.
Mm-hmm. You know, as I said, I don't know that they're going to Blacksburg to get a win. After watching Virginia Tech play pretty well against South Carolina, at least defensively for three quarters, if not for the special teams touchdown, who knows how that game goes.
Tech is 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah. I don't know that they're going to win that game.
Alabama's 24-point favorites. I don't know why there's already a line on the Alabama game.
Why not? Yeah, so maybe you get Alabama with the schedule before they face Vanderbilt quits, and you have a shot to beat them.
Let's see how likely it is they quit.
I don't know. But I don't know that you should feel all that good about beating Virginia Tech.
They do get them the week after Georgia.
Hangover either way.
Yeah, beat up.
Maybe with the loss.
Maybe.
Probably with the loss, considering what we saw, but you never know.
You never know.
You never know. So it's a good spot for Vanderbilt
That's
to play that game.
That's if they get past UL Monroe this week, too.
Yes. And
hey, has an Alabama team ever lost to UL Monroe?
That has happened.
With the greatest coach of all time on the sideline, not some guy wearing a T-shirt named Kalen.
That is correct. But I don't know that that Alabama program was in the same spot as far as talent level. So perhaps perhaps they will be able to overcome UL Monroe this week.
Okay.
We'll see. It is a point that you are not alone in bringing up. But I will suggest for people looking for a repeat of history, maybe Alabama, who we shouldn't trust a helmet on anymore, has enough in the tank
for UL Monroe
to beat UL Monroe. But we'll find out.
That's why they play the games down.
I've heard that before from you today, I think, and certainly from other people. That's why they play the games. Yeah. Thank you for that illuminating thought. I was unaware.
I miss that about football season. Just whenever you catch a color.
When they're out of things to say.
Just say the most, like, and you know, big-time players need to make big-time plays in this game. You're like, yep.
It is.
I, too, am watching Dylan Stewart get a sack.
And he found a way not to unload a clip into Kyron Jones yesterday.
Weak.
He learned his lesson.
Or he's just saving for SEC play.
You know, we did not see a
put that in Pavia's face, see what happens.
We did not see a penalty for a gun gesture this weekend.
No, at least the games I watched.
I did not see one.
Yeah.
I'm sure if it had happened, Twitter would have alerted us to that.
Well, because it took 55 minutes for Arch to find the end zones.
Yeah, and he probably wasn't at a point where he decided it's time to do that.
I'd hold off.
Yeah, hold off on that. Maybe if it was your third touchdown of the day.
Yeah.
Or do even like the arrow thing. But no. It was a tough beat, but I suspect Texas will be pretty good. Just had a bad day against a good football team, a really good,
yeah.
You know, the defending national champion. Sure, a lot of things have changed, a lot of roster movement because that's how college football is, but they still can
still
play defense.
Good. They're still pretty good. I'll tell you, Ohio State's still pretty good.
You know what they do, Sean? They don't rebuild.
They reload.
Hey, I was supposed to say this.
Sorry.
I was supposed to match your – that's why they play the games.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
They reloaded, and they had a red dot on Texas's offense.
Yeah, they had
pencil behind their ear and a laminated play sheet in front of them, and they're ready to do whatever they
want. And while that's you describing Matt Patricia, I'm not sure if that was a nipple ring on Ryan Day, but a lot of people believe he pierces his nipple. If you didn't see, there's a picture of him.
Yeah.
I think he might be being interviewed.
It was right like the pregame interview.
Right as the game is beginning. And, you know, those, I don't know what exactly those shirts are made out of. We all seen them.
Yeah, it's just the coach's polo.
Yeah, they don't really protect you unless you're wearing a shirt underneath. If you have a certain body type.
Was that real?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it was nipple ring or not. Like, Marcus Freeman won't have to worry about it. He's built. It's fine. Other coaches, like Mario Cristobal, should and does wear an undershirt when he wears a shirt like that,
mm-hmm.
particularly when it rains. Ryan Day, I don't know if it's real, but it appears from all the internet, and you can't trust them, that the man had his...
Can't believe no one asked at a
post-game. Left nipple pierce. I hope that's not real.
I hope it's not, too, because... I feel like it would have been a better story or a bigger story if Texas had won. And now I feel even more let down.
That you got beat?
Yeah, so no one will ask.
If you
the
had,
story kind of dies when, when they're good.
If they had lost someone,
yeah.
If that's a real image.
There have been some Photoshops that probably cross a line.
Definitely. But Ryan Day, who's only loss, like you look at all his wins over the last like 7 games. All the play, the playoff wins, the national title.
They're all top 10 teams.
Yeah. Top 7, I think. The one team you maybe Tennessee was like a 9. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a 9 as far as the CFP. The only loss is that stinker to Michigan. Other than that, nails.
And they're housed, most of these teams.
Yeah. Beating teams who thought and were contenders.
Yeah.
Except for that team up north.
Yeah.
Who looked okay. I was going to mention this. I'll do it before we go to break. Bryce Underwood, the freshman who Michigan paid a lot of money for, There was a point in that game against New Mexico. They were up 17-10. It was getting a little squirrely. New Mexico was trying to stay in it. It's like a third down right before the half. New Mexico would have gotten the ball back, maybe see if they could go down and score again and make it even closer, even tie it. He throws a dime on like 3rd and 14 or something like that, at least 3rd and long. Big play, explosive play down the field, and it led to Michigan points. And while that is simply one play, I didn't know, at least at this point in his career, he had that in him. There's some questions about his ability to throw the ball, didn't have a great spring game. But in that moment, you know, you look at him and go, I get it. I get the $12 million.
I can see it.
I understand why the alleged $12 million is going into his pocket. So Michigan, at least through week one, Bryce Underwood living up to all that hype.
Next week, big test. Go to Norman to play Oklahoma.
That's where game day is, I believe. Yes. They'll be in Norman. I think Herb Street announced it even before the broadcast.
Yeah. Not a ton of
great games. Yeah, everybody played this week.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what else would be out
there. And maybe this is me coping because my team is 0-1 and went on the road against the defending national title team. And did title winner. I am like, if you didn't play a good team, I'm still at preseason mode for you guys. Penn State, don't care.
Yeah, we don't care who you beat.
Florida, don't care.
Exactly.
Like, if you're just playing an FCS team or a low-level FBS team, if you're playing the Mountain West, if you're playing the MAC, whatever. Just don't care. Oh, as far as I'm concerned, Oklahoma and Michigan are starting their season next week.
Correct.
Is that cope?
Not really. Those teams weren't supposed to be challenged, and they weren't.
And Alabama's different. You lost to a team that went 2-10 last year. But for Texas, Clemson, Notre Dame, I'm a little bit like, we'll see. We'll see how much I actually want to bury these teams. I think they all played well, or at least well enough to, I mean, did they all lose by 7 or less? Yes,
yeah,
they did.
They all did.
So
one score games.
To me, there's a little bit of a difference there between looking awesome against Nevada
and playing a close-type ball game that
you look bad
against a good team.
You look bad, but it's like, well, you were playing a team that might win their conference.
And bad is relative, like 14-7 and 17-10, 27-14, all tight games. Play here.
I was really talking about Arch Manning. He looked bad.
He did look bad.
He looked bad.
Texas as a whole.
CJ Carr was trending in that direction, and then his first touchdown, like, unlocked him.
Yeah, a lot of wide receiver screens early made you think they didn't really trust him. And to be fair, I mean, other than the one bust, I don't know how – he threw, like, maybe 2 passes beyond 10 yards before before that bust on the game-time drive. Yeah, so they protected him early, and then he found a way.
That first touchdown where he spins
was that
back,
a no-look pass? Because I saw the
– that's what it looked like.
Behind him, and – you see the Miami players looking at his eyes, and they go one way, and then he throws it. Maybe he'll be asked about it at some point, but it did look like a no-looker.
As he was running backwards, avoiding the sack,
I thought disaster.
I was saying out loud, can't do that, dude.
Yeah.
Can't do that. And then he turns around.
The break was he had a defensive tackle at the back end of a drive fall down, and it allowed him enough time to get the playoff, and he made a great play, and it kind of – got him going, and Notre Dame eventually fell down 21-17, but thanks to Mario Cristobal and his willingness to turn a game that could be a blowout into a tight one, because I'm sure it touches something in his soul to know that his team won a hard-fought 27-24 trenches game. Yeah,
the juice is flowing.
Yeah.
We overcame adversity, men.
Yeah, I'm not looking.
If they won 28-7, they didn't overcome adversity.
Yeah, they won. I'm sure he couldn't. The lessons he wanted to teach don't hit the same if it's 35-14.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to break with that. At this point, we got one more segment to go. So if you want to join us, you can. 713-780-3776. Big weekend. We love discussing it. And if you want to get in on it, you can call us and join us. We are going to play, when we come back, a stern warning for anyone disrespecting a city in the state of Louisiana. Not Baton Rouge. It's where Tulane resides. We'll play that sound when we come back. But first, I'm going to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Aqueduct Plumbing Company is a place that you shouldn't disrespect either, because they're going to get you right. Whether it be a big plumbing issue or a small one, they're going to fix it. You don't want to take a chance that you're going to make it worse. You don't know what you're doing. You're not a plumber. Get a real plumber. Get a great plumber in there. Check out all the things they have to offer at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. Could be a leak. Could be a remodel. Could be a repipe because you got an older home and the pipes are corroding and you can see it in the water. Nothing is worse when something that you assume is going to be good turns out poorly. When you turn on the water, you expect to be clean. You expect to be able to wash your clothes in it, wash your face in it, wash your whole self in it, and cook with it. And when that water's bad, it's a shock. You don't want to have that shock. Have Aqueduct Plumbing Company take a look if you sense a problem. Go to the website and see all they have to offer. They have a nice drop-down menu of all their services, and it'll kind of read out everything, and you'll see what fits you. And, of course, if you don't know what the problem is, but you don't want to be charged to kind of figure it out, they have that free price quote that you can take advantage of. And if you want to call them, you can. 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
When it comes to accidental injury cases in Harris County, there's one law firm that files nearly three times as many cases than any other firm, and that's Dasper Law Firm. Why? Because they're the best at what they do, getting their clients the compensation they deserve for injuries they've wrongfully suffered in an accident. Lance Zierlein here, and if you suffered an injury in an accident and you would like a free case review, call John Daspit now, 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or visit DaspitLaw.com.
Let's hydrate. Grab a Rambler Sparkling Water, the official sparkling water of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A Texas mineral blend available in original lemon lime, grapefruit, satsuma, blackberry, and now wild cherry. Get Ramblin', Houston.
Chill out with Inside the Icebox, your go-to Astros podcast for deep dives, hot takes, and bold predictions. Join Joe George and Jeremy Branham Fridays at 6 on ESPN 97.5 or on our YouTube channel, ESPN Houston, powered by Blue Star Tequila. Smooth and always game ready.
Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today. Don't let your retirement accounts get caught off guard by trade and tariff wars. Learn why a Genesis Gold IRA is the number one choice for thousands of Americans across the nation. 800-644-8611. 800-644-8611. 800-644-8611. That's 800-644-8611.
Football is back, and Underdog is the place to make picks and win money all season long. If you're hearing this right now in Texas, you can play right now in Texas. Playing on Underdog is so easy. Pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, yards, interceptions, and more. Get your picks right, and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. Also with Underdog, you have the originals, the drafts, ladders, where you make 3 to 5 picks and progressively win more based on how well each pick performs. Streaks. Each streak starts by making 2 picks. If both are correct, the next pick for the streak becomes available. Download the app today and sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older, present in Texas. Terms apply. See website for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
All right, we'll get to Darren here, and then we'll play that sound from a guy you may have never heard of, unless you were really following what Tulane was going to do after they lost Willie Fritz. We'll play that sound, but let's get to Darren here. What's up, Darren?
fellas, they screwed LSU out of that touchdown. They really did.
Oh, the Barron touchdown? Yeah, that's a touchdown.
Yes. The score should have been like a 17-point game. Should have kicked the field goal in the first half, ending that, and it screwed them out of the Barron touchdown. So I just wanted to touch on that.
Yeah, Barry Brown made what we thought was a great play. Great throw by Nussmeier. Put that the only place it could have been. It was tight coverage. Looked like a touchdown. Ruled incomplete, and I think LSU wound up missing the field goal, right? So instead of having a 17-10 lead at the time, they wound up not scoring at all.
Yes, true.
Yeah. Yes. You're right, Darren. It was a couple of those happened in that exact kind of way, because the next day, South Carolina was playing Virginia Tech, Nicole Harbor. He did score a touchdown later, but it looked like he had a touchdown. Oh, but that one was, once he hit the ground, clearly incomplete. The Brown one, Barron Brown, that's a touchdown. Don't know why they ruled it out, but credit to LSU. That defense looked a lot better. After watching what we've seen from them the last couple of years, just 2 years ago, Jaden Daniels was winning a Heisman, and he had to score pretty much every time he touched the ball because of how bad that defense was. They flipped that, and those DBs look pretty good. Their transfer number 4 looked really good. LSU is going to be a problem, and they always should be, honestly. I mean, they're one of the schools that should always be at contender status, and at least through week one, they look like they are. But, yeah, I agree with you, Darren. That should have been a touchdown. It wasn't. It cost LSU some points, but they fought back, found a way.
Yeah.
Going to Clemson and win.
Old Brian Kelly LSU, that's where they fold. That's where they then give up a touchdown to Clemson or something. But they respond.
He does have – never score points on opening day, Garrett Riley on the other side. So it all kind of evened out. Sure.
Week one, Garrett Riley.
Sure. Brian Kelly will never win one of those games, but he's never had to run into a Garrett Riley who can't put a game plan together to get his team to score points in week one.
Yeah.
So there it is.
He's like, last year I played the wrong Riley. Played Lincoln. He's got his stuff together.
That's right.
At least enough.
Even if it is USC talent. And USC, it's not a good team they played, but
if you drop 73,
you got to at least mention you put up 73 points because the backups are in, you're still putting up points. So we'll see if Paul Feinbaum had the worst week ever with Alabama being terrible, his arch take being way off, and then Lincoln Riley at least threw one game against Montana State or Missouri State?
Missouri State,
where JT Granato played his ball.
Oh. Hey, look at that.
Yeah, after he transferred from Rice.
They could have used him.
They could have used a lot. I mean, I don't know if JT's helping. He don't play DB, so I'm not sure he's helping. All right, appreciate the call, Darren. Let's play this before we go. We're at, is it 20 years since Katrina? 20 years since Katrina. So Tulane wanted to make reverence of that. They wanted to make note of that. And I believe that year they wore their white jerseys the entire season. And they wanted to do that at least for game one. Northwestern said, nah, we're good. Nah. We're your home jerseys. And this led to a bit of an issue, as you might imagine. They're doing something to honor a city that is their home after one of the more traumatic events in American history. And all we wanted to do was wear our white jerseys at home. And Northwestern goes, actually, we would love to wear our white jerseys in your city. So that caused an issue, and it did not sit well with the Tulane head coach. John Sumrall is his name, and he let it be known that you don't mess with New Orleans. Here's John Sumrall after the game.
You know, we wore the green helmets today for the 20th anniversary of Katrina. And I'm going to say one thing. I'm not trying to take a shot, but we requested to wear white jerseys because that's what that team wore. It got denied by the other team. That's their prerogative. But when you show disrespect to the city of New Orleans, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to run into a team like this. They had a chip on their shoulder because I wanted them to wear the same exact uniform that team wore 20 years ago. Request got denied. We might have used that for a little bit of motivation to represent the city. So don't disrespect New Orleans ever. With that, open up to questions.
All right. Didn't know who you were, but now you're on my radar, John Sumrall.
Oh, he's He's the when you're a lower level SEC team and you're ready to fire a coach. It's like, oh, this guy.
Okay. Got something to him.
Okay. All well, right.
Hold
John
on.
Summerall.
Let's find out where he's from before we get too ahead of ourselves. Oh, Huntsville, Alabama.
And Kentucky alumnus, too.
Oh, wow. Mark Stoops got my eye on
yeah,
you.
Yeah. It's more of a question of will he get a better job than Kentucky? Will he get offered a better job?
Yeah. Which, that could play a part.
Where is he from again?
Huntsville, Alabama.
Hmm.
I don't know if Alabama's ready for him.
Hmm.
But maybe if Hugh Freeze screws up, Auburn might.
He'll never do that.
No, he's never done that before. All right, we're done for the day. Thank you for all the calls. Thank you for proving that you're listening despite the assertions by one Lance Erline, who was here working on other things but not on the show. Those guys will be back tomorrow. So if you are looking for John and Lance, they'll be back. But who's coming up next is Paul Gallant and then the Killer Bees. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
For me, I just feel like they're really evil.
I agree. John and Lance, really evil. Me and Timmy, they weigh up. Agree. All right. Thank you to everyone who called in. We'll talk to you tomorrow.